Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Good morning. Welcome. Another great day. Trash Talking Tuesday, in fact. Thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 7:06. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here.
Hey.
And your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Dodgers are up 3-0 in the World Series against the very powerful Yankee team. It's amazing. Dodgers won last night, 4-2, Game 3, so now Game 4 tonight in New York. Could it be a straight sweep?
Wow.
I'd never expected that. Even though I haven't been following it very closely, I think I gathered enough information to make me believe that the Yankees had a pretty solid team.
So did you put your Tigers t-shirts back in retirement? Are they folded neatly, tucked away until maybe next year?
They're in rotation.
Yes.
They're in gold rotation.
Okay, all right.
Which only radio geeks would understand that whole idea of rotating the songs.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. So let me just peek behind the curtains for you. That whole concept of, you know, playing request, that has been alive for, I would say, almost 30 years now.
30 years, yeah.
And when we used to play request, it was usually at our own peril.
Yes.
Nobody has the courage. Well, a computer won't even let you do it now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You go, oh, man, he has killer song. Guy called for, man. I had to throw it on there. Pa! Bah!
Humbug.
Yeah. This is real.
Yes.
This is live. We make it happen.
Yes. What he said.
Other than that, it's all a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's all still good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Radio's your initial and first wireless device.
You can take it anywhere.
And it's free.
Absolutely.
What more do you want?
Come on.
Yay! What more do you want?
Take us with you.
From the Three Stooges to the Hulkster.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Now, you remember him, right?
Oh, we love the Hulkster.
Yeah. He was looking around at Madison Square Gardens when he was in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't see no stinking Nazis around here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
He said, you know something, Trumpomaniacs? I don't see no stinking Nazis in here.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't see no domestic terrorists in here. The only thing I see in here is a bunch of hardworking men and women that are real Americans. Brother.
Love it.
Yeah, man.
Love it.
I mean, how far will the Democrats go? This whole idea is Hitler, Nazis, fascism. And again, I know what they're doing. They call you what they are. This is what they have in mind. Kamala Harris on an interview with Shannon Sharp saying that Trump's going to dismantle the Constitution starting with the First and Second Amendments.
Is that crazy you can get?
I mean, that's one of the things that I've been talking about Trump on since 2016.
Yeah.
That this is a feather in his cap. This is a guy that's an advocate for the First Amendment, freedom of speech. There's no doubt. He's also an advocate for the Second Amendment and will protect our gun rights. And so, yeah, I always put that out there as these are positives. This is one, you know, two of the reasons why you should support him. But now Kamala thinks she can shift the whole concept, the whole idea, 180 degrees, and pretend like she's not for gun bans? And the mainstream media, are they going to catch her on that and go, hey, we just want clarification. You said Trump was going to destroy the Second Amendment, but aren't you trying to ban guns? Are you still banning guns, or are you saying that Trump is not going to take care of the Second Amendment as good as you?
This is the woman who said that the government should be able to come into your locked home and check on how you're handling your legally owned firearms. If you are storing them properly, whatever they else they want to check. Come into your locked home.
Yeah, to make sure that you are, as a citizen,
right,
handling them legally.
Yeah.
Legally. Unreal. Never mind that there's no probable cause that she can just knock your door down.
No.
I mean, this, it just defies logic that this person passed a bar and was only a, you know, an attorney. I mean, she was
it's
district
amazing.
Attorney.
Yeah.
MSNBC is facing backlash for comparing Trump's recent Madison Square Garden event to a pro-Nazi rally held at the same New York City venue in 1939. Remember, I clarified, and it's not the same venue. It's not even built on exactly the same site as the 1939 building would have been. After splicing in 85-year-old footage of the crowd doing Sig Heil, salutes in between clips of the Republicans' Sunday audience.
Wow.
One of the far left's network's anchors, Jonathan Capehart, called Trump's packed rally chilling because of the German-American buns completely unrelated event at the arena.
Unreal.
But that jamboree happening right now, you see it there on your screen in that place, is particularly chilling because in 1939, more than 20,000 supporters of a different fascist leader, Adolf Hitler, packed a garden for so-called American rally. Capehart said, while rolling black and white footage of Nazis.
Wow. They are desperate. They are so desperate.
I don't have it here in front of me, but I know that FDR and other American presidents held rallies there before and after that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you supposed to say? That, oh, they modeled it after a Nazi event too? Do they really think they can get any mileage on this? It's like if you've got to lie, I mean really lie, about your opponent to have a shot, and you have no substance and anything positive to really sell, you know, it's painfully obvious. Tim Walz is giving a speech. He's been traveling around. Well, they're all traveling around, right? So he was giving a speech. He talked about, and we're going to bring manufacturing back to, you know, America and more jobs. Now, they lost a bunch of manufacturing jobs over the last couple of months. Tens of thousands, by the way. But of course, they're not going to mention that. But then they say, we're going to bring back manufacturing jobs. And then the crowd cheers. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Can you tell us what your plan is to do that? How are you going to do that? Trump proceeds with his plan. He talks about tariffs. Now, a lot of people don't like tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. But he's going to use that as a tool to make it better for companies to build and make their products here in the U.S. So he has a plan to bring back manufacturing. That's part of a plan. Shouldn't have a plan. And then, who was it? Got Larry Summers was on. I forget who he was on with. And I can't stand the guy anyway. So, there's going to be a lot of bias in here. And, it was Martha McCallum on Fox News Channel was interviewing him. And she said, the Trump tax cuts, you know, back in whenever he did them, 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
She said he did the cuts, and then we actually ended up with $4.9 trillion in federal coffers, which is way above what had happened in the previous years of previous administration. Hmm. You know what his answer to that was? He's supposed to be some kind of financial guy, right? Larry Summers.
Yeah.
He goes, what does 4.9 mean? I mean, what does that mean? It goes up all the time. It goes up every year. That was his, like, ignoramus. I'm like, why waste your time putting a bozo like him on the air?
Mm-hmm.
He almost was so bad, almost, started to actually, by comparison, give Janet Yellen a little bit of credibility. That's how bad.
Oh, by the way, in reference to other Democrats, maybe who have been at one building or the other of the square of the garden, George Wallace you mentioned, or actually George Wallace, LBJ, and FDR that you mentioned.
Okay.
But then there was also Nixon, then Dwight Eisenhower, and...
I mean, really, I talk about making something up over nothing.
Yep.
All right. What's bugging you? You can already hear some of the things that are bugging me. It's your turn now. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. But call in and share your thoughts with us at 877-975-9825. What's bugging you is next on 97.3 The Sky.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha!
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
What's bugging you?
What's wrong with this picture?
I'm really upset about it.
877 W-Sky Talk.
I, for one, am tired of it.
Call now. What's bugging you? 97.3 The Sky.
Morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 7:21. It's time for What's Bugging You? A chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. All right, call in now. 877-975-9825. As we await that, I want to give you some information before it's bugging me and I don't want to forget.
Yes.
And that is how you can win tickets to the spectacular World Equestrian Center Ocala Food and Wine Festival this weekend. We've got tickets for the Grand Tasting, the Saturday event. And all you have to do is text the keyword FALL, F-A-L-L, text it to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Grand Tasting. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Good luck on that. It's a nice prize for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you ready? 877-975-9825. Call in now for What's Bugging You as we go to Pam. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Good morning. So they had an article about how people are turning to drugs and booze and everything because they're so anxious about the election. But how accurate do you think that these polls really are when they said that they took a sampling of 300 people in Las Vegas? Okay, whatever. My theory is that if you are voting for Trump, you're not going to just announce it to everybody except for to us, you know, on the radio and stuff, because you don't want to be canceled at your work. You don't want to be ostracized. But on the other hand, how many Harris supporters are not saying that they're going to vote for Trump because they don't want, if they're in Chicago, they don't want to be shot. They don't want to have their cars damaged. They don't want to be fired. I mean, you know, have their wife divorce them or whatever. So do we really want to take the polls at face value?
Absolutely, we do not want to take the polls at face value. They can be a guide, and when you get a matrix of them, you can get a sense for what's going on. But there is an impact depending on who the candidates are and all that. And I think you hit it exactly right. There are a lot of people that I think are going to not tell their friends that they voted for Trump.
Absolutely.
And I think it's going to be especially true in black communities, especially true. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, don't believe the polls. Get out and vote. Vote early if you can. We're a week away exactly.
Oh, man.
Let's go to Kent. What's bugging you?
Well, it's hard to describe. I used to work on Capitol Hill, and I was watching the PBS NewsHour last night, and I've done that since I was 12 years old. I'm 58 now, and we need to get rid of that thing or disfund it somehow because the journalist, quote-unquote, was doing an interview with this lady from New York University, and every question, quote-unquote, that she said was a statement saying, Donald Trump said this, isn't this terrible, what do you think?
Wow.
And it used to be back in the day, Jim Lehrer, NewsHour, they had two folks with opposing opinions. And you could watch it and make your own opinion, which I always did. But now it is so one-sided, so liberal, that is unreal. And your taxpayer money is going for that bull crap.
I'm with you. Taxpayer money should not go to support that. There was a time and a reason for it way back when there weren't a lot of commercially viable signals and getting news and information was not that easy for small towns, etc. So there may have been a use for it. But now, you know, we've got worldwide communications and everything else. So, no, it is not. It doesn't need public support if it can. And it can go on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And it should.
Sure.
Right. Compete in the marketplace. 877-975-9825. And Nostradamus, what's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I saw in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, they've got 2,500 fuzzy ballots out there they're investigating. They're trying to steal this election again. And I might have talked about this, but they're burning ballot drop boxes in Portland, Oregon. They're burning the ballot boxes. And they caught someone driving away from one of the fires that was driving a Volvo. So they've got a suspect. They were driving a Volvo. But, you know, they're trying to steal this election. They don't want Trump in. They're going to do anything they can do to keep Trump from getting in office. It's going to get crazy. But it's just, it bugs me. This is going on again. And, you know, we're not going to have fair elections anymore. It's never going to happen again. We're never going to have fair elections.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you said, but to say never, I never say never.
Yeah.
I never say never. If Trump doesn't get elected, I would say probably never.
Right.
I really would.
Yeah. But isn't it a shame that we have to even think that way? That the days of just a good, honest election, yeah, they're going to pick on each other, they're going to call each other, whatever, to some extent. But one, that it's gotten as bad as it has, where they will blatantly lie, like we were talking about Kamala saying that Trump's the one who wants to get rid of the First and Second Amendment when everybody really knows the difference. But yet, people will listen to it and go, really? That's what he wants to do? That's just terrible. How could I vote for a man that would do that?
Yeah.
And they don't know. That's what's sad.
Well, look, it's interesting as well. And what's bugging me is they call Trump Hitler, a Nazi, a fascist. But it's interesting because do you know what that is? That's pure propaganda that they're putting out.
Sure it is.
Well, who ran the greatest propaganda campaign of all time?
Oh, yeah. Ironically.
Hitler did.
Uh-huh, he did.
So it's funny. They're much more Hitler-like in many ways. Mm-hmm. Much more.
Oh, yeah.
They're taking a page out of his book. You control the media, you control the message, you control the people. That's what they're trying to do. Absolutely. Thanks for participating, my friends. It is approaching 7:28, and coming up at 8:05, Gun Owners of America, Louis Valdez will be with us, the Second Amendment and the election, and how that could be impacted. That's coming up on 97.3, The Sky. I'll give the code word again before the top of the hour for the World Equestrian Center Ocala Food and Wine Festival, so you have a chance to win some tickets for the Saturday Grand Tasting event. Good morning and welcome. It is 7:35, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Did I mention it's a Trash Talker Tuesday? Because it is.
Yes, it is.
Thanks to Florence Recycling. Top story, Democrats are disturbed and desperate. That's the best way to really describe them. The things that are coming out of their mouths is absurdly ridiculous, even compared to some of the ugliest campaign rhetoric that we've heard through the years. Dodgers, 3-0 against the Yankees. It's true. Mm. LA won last night 4-2, game 3. Now game 4 is tonight in New York. Could be a sweep if the Yanks can't put it together tonight. I think
that'd be pretty incredible.
They're going to the Bambino's gravesite and no, they're laying flowers and different things and saying, you know, help us out. Wow. I don't know if it works that way, but
yeah, I don't think so, but
I'd try anything, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got that going on. Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos penned an op-ed defending the paper's principal decision in not endorsing a presidential candidate in the 2024 race. Now, this is a big deal. The Washington Post not endorsing a presidential candidate. This is the first time, I don't know, in modern history, right? The non-endorsement of Kamala speaks volumes. And if it was just the Washington Post, it would still be significant. But it's not. It's also the LA Times. That's in basically her backyard. I mean, the paper of record in California. Man, Los Angeles Times.
That's got to be a slap to her.
And then.
She can't like that.
Yeah, and then USA Today. Wow.
Do you get more liberal than that?
Well, it's just, you know, this non-endorsement thing. Like I say, it speaks volumes. When normally they would be doing it. Now, Bezos began the piece Monday by citing a Gallup poll showing Americans losing trust in the media. Yes. Even falling below Congress. Yes. Telling readers, quote, our profession is now the least trusted of all. Wow. Something we are doing is clearly not working. Yeah. To that I say, Jeff, it's because they're not telling the truth. They're not journalists. They're not being taught the true art of journalism at the high school, and especially not at the college level. They're taught in journalism schools around the country at universities now that this is a vehicle for social change, etc. That you being a journalist, now, if you want change, you could be a writer. You could be a writer. You could write stories, right? If you're going to be a journalist, then you're supposed to report the truth, not your version of the truth, not an agenda-laden, biased-laden truth. You're supposed to tell the truth. They don't tell the truth anymore. And you know what? They've allowed themselves, and you, Jeff Bezos, the owner of a paper, and I know it went on way before you owned a paper, but they've allowed themselves this. It's okay to be a little deceitful. It's okay to lie a little. If it's for the right cause, for the right reason. If you want me to spit that out in a different way, it's the old, the end justifies the means. Yeah, I didn't really print all of the story because anecdotally, the way I told it, I wanted people to feel bad for the so-called victim and not have her have to take any responsibility for her role in it. I'm just making up examples. But it's like, yeah, I could have put that in there, but it didn't fit. And what they mean by that, it didn't fit. It wasn't about space, because you never run out of space in a paper. It, especially now, oh my gosh, they're like little pamphlets or something. I mean, it's embarrassing.
You can't even wrap a good fish in it anymore. Is that enough?
No. No, they'd have to be minnows, the minnow wrapper.
Yes.
So anyway, Bezos, yeah, you're part of the problem. And maybe you're starting to get an idea. Something we are doing is clearly not working. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're telling people, young people are allowing them to not tell the truth. Because the agenda is more important. Hey, you know what I noticed? How many stories did you see where it was side-by-side comparison to how much it costs to fill up an electric car and how much it costs to fill up a regular car?
Hmm.
If you really dug around, you could find information somewhere.
Right.
But as far as the mainstream media goes, did they ever do that? No. Why? Because their agenda was go to electric cars because the sky is falling and climate change is going to kill us all. And they believe it. And they believe that this just cause, this crusade for our planet is worth maybe not laying out all the facts, the sin of omission. They never talked about the mining side of it, the slave labor.
No.
They never sold it honestly. They should have tried to sell it honestly, and if you honestly sell it and you tell me the good points, I might say, yeah, I think there's a practical use for that. I can have that as my car that just goes back and forth to work, no right. problem. But no, they omitted truths and facts all along the way because the agenda was more important. So Bezos, he said, what we're doing is clearly not working. The media is not trusted anymore. We must be accurate. We must be believed to be accurate. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but we are failing on the second requirement. Most people believe the media is biased. Anyone who doesn't see this is paying scant attention to reality. And those who fight reality lose. Reality is an undefeated champion. And it would be easy to blame others for our long and continued fall in credibility and therefore decline in impact. But a victim mentality will not help. Complaining is not a strategy. We must work harder to control what we can control to increase our credibility. Man, I believe that you believe those words, but will you put them into action? And
right.
Good luck. Where are you going to find the truth tellers? And maybe there's plenty of them out there, and maybe they have a hard time finding a job because there's only Fox News and a few conservative outlets to work for. Maybe that, yeah, maybe that's part
tough.
Of it.
Yeah.
The billionaire Amazon founder who bought the Post in 2013 insisted that newspaper endorsements do nothing to tip the scales of an election, but instead create a perception of bias. He doubled down on the Post's decision to end its presidential endorsements by saying it's a principled decision and it's the right one. He said, by itself, declining to endorse presidential candidates is not enough to move us very far up the trust scale, but it's a meaningful step in the right direction. I wish we had made the change earlier than we did, in a moment further from the election and the emotions around it. This was inadequate planning and not some intentional strategy.
Well, how do you look non-biased if you're endorsing a candidate? Seriously, I mean, that is a very basic and I think good point. You don't look non-biased if you go for either side.
Well, look, the Wall Street Journal has a lot of credibility. And if you look at their articles, they're kind of mainstream and sometimes left-leaning.
Right.
But their editorial board tends to be very conservative.
That's true, too.
You can create a balance and have credibility, but you don't. You see, it's much more dangerous to run the stories you run that are biased.
Right.
And just the running of the story is biased. In other words, let's talk all about the homeless problem when a Republican's in the White House, and then we'll pretend it's not a problem when a Democrat's there.
Like when Obama got in.
Exactly. Yeah. They're famous for that.
Yep.
So, you've got that kind of bias going on. But you can strike a balance. And what you do is you make sure people know that the editorial page is just that.
Mm-hmm.
That these are op-ed pieces. I mean, look, I delivered the Free Press when I was 12 and 13 years old. And you didn't have to explain that to me. Mm-hmm. I could read the paper.
Exactly.
Which, that brings a whole nother issue up of one of the reasons why young people may not be as well-rounded is because, the big social medias and stuff find what your niche is.
Right.
So all they do is bombard you with that.
And if TikTok's not telling you what you're supposed to believe, you're not doing any research.
Right.
Yeah.
So he realizes this is just a small move, but he has already taken so much heat. He also denied there was any quid pro quo that motivated the decision and insisted meeting the boss of his company, Blue Origin, had with former President Trump, which occurred the day of the announcement.
Mm.
He said that was a regretful coincidence, flatly saying there's no connection between it and our decision on presidential endorsements, and any suggestion otherwise is false. I'm just wondering if major business people like Bezos, maybe they're just beginning to see the light. It sounds like he is. We'll see if he continues to be enlightened.
Ah.
Details on that and a whole lot more coming up on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Mega power. Mega power. Yeah.
Let me say it one more time. Mega, yeah. mega. You know why I do that, Greg?
Why is that?
Because I can.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
I like it.
Let's go, man. Go vote early. Greg and I got it done. Yep. It's easy peasy. Do it. Bring a like-minded friend or three or five and do it. Don't forget. Don't put it off.
No excuse.
Let's make it happen. I don't care what any polls say, man.
Mm-mm.
Not resting yet.
No.
But we can do it, man. We're in this. We can do this. And do you think he can win? Greg, do you think?
I do.
Trump can win?
I do think he can win. We just have to overwhelm the potential cheat with enough strong votes that they can't fight it. Yep.
You know, I think that we might get like 46 states. I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see, of course. Anything's possible in this day and age.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And say a prayer, too. That didn't hurt.
Mm-mm.
The world's most accurate economist is predicting Trump will win.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Also predicting that Republicans will take control of Congress as well in a clean sweep. Christoph Baraud, I believe is how you say his name, chief economist and strategist at Market Securities Monaco, also said U.S. growth would accelerate after the election. Looking at different metrics, such as betting markets, polls, election modelers' forecasts, financial markets, as of now, the most probable outcomes are, number one, Trump victory, and number two, GOP clean sweep. He posted this on X. Now, he's 38 years old. He's been ranked as the best economist forecaster for the U.S. economy by Bloomberg every year since 2012. Yeah, I want to say he's like 11 out of 12. Yeah, 11 out of 12 years. Yep. Despite his prediction of economic growth, Baraud warned that if Vice President Kamala Harris gets elected with a split Congress, yields could drop because the market has already been priced in a Republican win. It would correct down, he added. If Trump wins with Congress split between parties, his ability to cut taxes for corporations and households could be stalled. He told business, he shared this information with Business Insider. Trump would therefore focus on tariffs, which could hurt global growth, which, you know, unless you're an American who has a lot of overseas stocks, right, it's not really going to be of great impact to us.
Right.
But he said the most likely outcome is a Trump win and a Republican sweep of Congress. Man, I hope this guy is right. And if Trump gains a Republican majority, he could implement tax cuts for corporations and households, focus more on his domestic agenda rather than foreign policy. It would create a GDP boost in 2025 between 2.1 and 2.3%. He guesses the risk with Trump is that if he cuts taxes without a way to pay for it, it could increase the deficit. Not an economist he is, but I remember when he cut taxes, more money came into the federal government than the previous year because there's more money coming in.
Right.
The percentage of it from each taxpayer is a little lower, but that's when there's this low tax environment, you know, and people work, you know, overtime, they know that they're going to get, you know, a good chunk of that. If you're in that higher tax bracket or pushes you up in there, all of a sudden the overtime doesn't mean nearly as much. And if you're not willing to work overtime, then productivity will go down. It does all kind of work and fit together. I'm just wondering, like, you know, what is Kamala's, what is her plan?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
like, it's kind of like the dog chasing the car. What's she really going to do if she gets it? You know, what do you do? It's like, because she doesn't, these things and these plans, they're not in her head. They're going to be coming from someplace else, whatever she does.
Yeah, she said in a speech something about, you know, the enemy within or whatever. She and her, you know, the shadow state, they are the enemy within. That's why she doesn't see it.
Right.
NFL fans raised a furor after Sunday Night Football social media. Well, here's what happened. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa, he had a Donald Trump MAGA hat on. Nice. There's an on-field interview going on after the 49ers beat the Cowboys 30-24. It was sideline reporter for NBC, Melissa Stark, interviewing quarterback Brock Purdy. Bosa snuck up behind the two, stuck his head up between them, and pointed to his Donald Trump Make America Great Again cap.
That's awesome.
Bosa's stunt had the whole screen of players and interviewers laughing after he ran back out of the frame. Now, this kind of thing, photo bombing while an interview is going on, has been going. It's a long
Absolutely.
A long tradition, if you will. But in these tough political times, wearing a MAGA hat. Remember, he's plays for San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that.
So, but he went to Ohio State. But anyway, here's the rub. Here's why people are upset. Because apparently, Sunday Night Football social media tried to edit out Nick Bosa's hilarious TV appearance. They tried to edit it out. Yep.
Wow.
Sunday Night Football social media, which tried to memory hole the incident by refusing to post about it. In fact, the X account went so far as to edit out Bose's intrusion into the interview.
Really?
Yeah, I've never heard of them doing that before. Mm-hmm. Wow. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Coming up, you concerned about the Second Amendment? You should be. So is Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America. He joins us next on 97.3 The Sky.